All right, I'll take this one for you, Kaya. I understand that you're a little behind on the intros, but I
Whoa,
don't
whoa, whoa,
mind
no, no,
throwing you a
no.
bone here.
No. That person, he privately messaged me. He went through all of our bonuses as well, including the old
Oh.
legacy bonus episodes, the half-hour ones we used to do. So apparently, all of you break the 40 mark, and I'm sitting at a lukewarm 23-ish, which is just great. So coming to us today on episode 98 is technical problems and Skype, and also Jack's films. Hey, Jack, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas.
All right, Jack, enough. Please calm down. Let's talk about Skype, the real reason we're here.
Hell yeah.
For those listeners at home, we have been forsaken by the Discord meme generating overlord pylon gathering, whatever the fuck Spriggle shit Discord throws out.
Snoofle-doozles. It just disconnected me in the most unsparklies of ways, and then I had to use the not-so-poofle-hoofle-doofle-hufflepuffle messenger to contact Charlie and tell him that, my fam wasn't lit. So now we're on Skype.
Are you sure? Did you check your Snapple daffs? You might have to rejigger them to go up and down to the Thazzle ways.
Well, my floop capacitors are all at max, but no dice.
Oh boy.
Well, today's podcast is sponsored by Skype, isn't that right, fellas?
Oh
I
boy.
wish.
That's one of our main ones.
Oh. So,
I would never accept money from Skype.
I would. It's Microsoft. I'll take that
Oh,
money.
no, yeah, I would. Even
Fuck
though Skype's a
Discord.
piece of shit, only used by like 50-year-olds and older, I would absolutely let them pay me to talk good about it.
Why not, right?
Yeah. Speaking of 50-year-olds and older, Jack, I kind of stepped on your intro there. Would you like to actually introduce yourself to the, I don't know, six people who don't know who you are already?
I walked right into that one, didn't I? Yeah, no, sure. So, I'm Jack. I got a YouTube channel called Jack's Films that's been around for way too fucking long, 12 years. And I do funny ha-has and comedy videos on my channel. Recently I've been doing a series called Yesterday I Asked You, or YAI, as it's commonly acronymated into. And yeah, thanks for having me on the podcast, fellas.
Yeah, for sure, man. We're glad you came on, and we're sorry that you had to do it in this back alley meth lab called Skype with us here.
No, it's all part of the journey, right? It's not the destination.
It's the official
It's how you get
podcast
there.
experience.
It really is.
Yeah, really.
As shittily done as it could be, that's our motto. If it could be done, we're gonna do it the worst it can be.
Yeah, that's your gimmick, right?
I don't understand how these big companies buy out these smaller subsidiaries and then just turn them to complete utter shit when all the good tools are there. Like Microsoft buys Skype and they somehow make it even worse. I don't get it. Google buys YouTube and they make it way worse. Every time this shit happens, they take an all right platform and then they just nosedive it into the ground. I don't get what's going on.
Yeah, because like I used to use Skype and it
Everyone
never
did.
like, yeah,
Absolutely.
it never collapsed on me.
Skype was the go-to for everybody, and then Discord finally came up and went, "Hey, you know, this doesn't have to suck dick." I mean, they get a little try hard in their fucking tech liner notes with we zapple
Right.
dap to up to
But
30% more
that's it.
power, but that's it. Everything else about it works perfectly fine when the servers are up.
Oh, I love Discord. I'm
Yeah.
just getting into it myself.
All Skype
It's
had,
good.
well, don't do that. But all Skype had to do to retain its empire was up the bit rate on these calls just a little bit.
Yeah,
Oh
I mean,
boy.
the
Yeah.
UI is just awful as well. I can't
Well,
stand
yeah, but
the look of it.
the initial foothold that Discord got was because disbelievers would try it, like Charlie, and they would immediately see the crystal clear audio quality just grace their ear canal. And you can't just go back. This sounds like we're talking submersed in water. It's
Yeah.
horrible.
It's
I
very
think
crinkly.
I think the day that Skype officially died is when Discord added video calling, which was for a while the only thing that Skype had over Discord, and now that Discord has video calling, I don't think there's a single reason to use Skype over it.
I honestly have to disagree. I think Skype still has a fighting chance because if you ever have to contact Discord, you immediately want to leave I'd like to share a little excerpt from the Discord Bible that I've saved onto my computer.
Please.
Sit down, my brothers, and turn your sacred text to the Discord partner support line. So when Kaya reached out to try and get something settled on a Discord server, this is the response he received. Hey, Kaya Orson, Springle here. I just wanted to say thanks so much for reaching out to the partner team. Our ultra elite gaggle of partner support elves are crunching their way through solving your request.
Yep.
We'll get back to you quicker than a hoofer snatch after a reen doodle. All the cheers, Springle.
Good God.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a real message.
How do you do,
real Discord
kids?
Message.
Woof.
So I'm glad that we brought this up because I wanted to make this a whole topic. Did you guys see my photos of my hair fucking product that I bought with the same shit?
Yeah.
So, Jax, I'll fill you in. Earlier today, I got a thing of like hair styling shit from Amazon, like little paste, just gel, basically. And it's from this company called like Viking or like Viking's Beard or some bullshit, like manly, tough guy. But wear this on your face. And I think they're taking a page out of the Old Spice book, because when you open the little packet, it comes in a box, and the box says shit like, congratulations, you just made the most awesomest purchase of your life.
Oh,
and then literally in parentheses underneath it, it says Q explosion in the background.
Oh, God. No, that's
And I think it's Old Spice that started this trend of kind of like out there absurdist advertising, but they do it really well because they hire actual comedy writers to do it. But every other company is just this obnoxious bullshit. And I don't know why everyone's doing it now.
Yeah. Well, Tim and Eric, didn't they like direct the
the
first
Eric,
Old Spice commercials?
Yeah. The ones with Terry Crews, Tim and Eric
made and wrote.
Yeah.
But yeah. And it works for them. But I want to ask, I wonder how many times your hair gel or whatever their marketing uses the word epic. When they're
probably like, at least four before the disclaimer.
that's such like a 2012 thing.
This
everything was epic.
I'll say this though: Discord was really smart by catering to gamers only, which I think lets Skype to cater to the business world, because Skype still has something that Discord doesn't have, which is it lets you make phone calls. You can reserve an actual phone number. You can call anybody, anytime on the planet for cheap. And that's good for business. That's good for business.
Also comes with every computer.
Hmm? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
It's perfect
from a business
for boomers,
standpoint. It makes perfect. Yeah. From business, it makes perfect sense. But for actual user end, it doesn't at all.
Yeah. For, young people, it didn't make much sense, and that's because young people didn't have anything left after MSN Messenger went belly up a couple of years ago.
And then
we were all refugees from that. We came to Skype, but Skype wasn't really made for us, I suppose. So when Discord came along and said, hey, young people, here's the Snoopful Doozle, and it's all sparkly. it was too alluring.
Has a company's marketing where they try to go for, I understand appealing to kids, but where they try to hit that like niche internet market with like memes and all sorts of buzzwords and little parentheses describing what they do. Has that ever paid off for a company except Old Spice, do you think?
Well, you have their hair gel at the moment.
Hey, yeah. I literally just bought it off reviews, and then I got the box and went, oh, fuck me. That's why I sent you guys photos. I had no idea. It probably does for certain people, probably for older people, actually. They want to feel young.
Sure. Yeah. It's like, it's like the life cycle of memes. Whenever you see a meme at a sitcom like that, it's reached the end of its life cycle. But who watches sitcoms? People over a certain age group. So like you'll see someone flossing. I saw a trailer for some terrible Christmas Netflix show. And at the very end of the trailer, it features a little CGI elves flossing, doing the fucking Fortnite default dances and whatnot, and like that's the end of that meme life cycle. But of course, I'm sure the guys that slapped that together thought they were being super hip, catering to all those Fortnite Gen Zers and whatnot. But it was That was about the worst thing I've ever seen. I had a point.
How hard did you laugh?
I just got... I had to put my phone down. I was laughing so hard.
Jack got up in the theater, started doing the floss dance with them.
Absolutely. You bet your ass I did.
That actually brings me to something I'd really like to talk to you about. It flows in beautifully with the Emoji Movie. You made a meme reach such critical mass that you got invited to the fucking red carpet rollout premiere of the meme.
It was the best day of my life, let me tell you. Like, I will tell my son that when he's born.
That shit is
born.
Absolutely legendary. For anyone who doesn't know, the Emoji Movie, you know, everyone's shitting on it and everything. But Jack took that shit to the next level. And the Emoji Movie embraced the meme by inviting him to the fucking premiere with, like, you know, Sir Patrick Stewart and, you know, the janitor that cleans shit off of the Emoji, you know, the Emoji Studios bathroom and shit. Everyone was there.
Everyone. All the stars.
All the stars were there.
Thank you.
What was the meme?
The movie.
What was the meme? Yeah, the movie itself. The movie's existence was the meme. And I got to give credit to their PR team. Like, to, as you said, to embrace the meme, to embrace, like, what it is, and to just, like, invite me, this guy that had been shitting on it for a year, out to the red carpet premiere. That was cool of them. So, like, they had a really good sense of humor about it. But, oh, that was such a surreal day. It was just me and my wife, Erin, walking around. Oh, there's TJ Miller. Oh, there's Sir Patrick Stewart. Like, they were just right there. And I was too chicken shit to, like, go up to any of these guys, you know, because they're like, what the hell are you guys doing? You know, it was very, I'll never do anything like that again in my life.
Walk up right up to them. You should have.
Same. Yeah. I mean, I say that, like, I'd be like, oh, that'd be so cool. You know, I was invited there. I'd definitely go up to him. But I feel like in the situation, if I saw Sir Patrick Stewart, like, 10 squirrel links away from me, I would be way too afraid to even look at him because I think he'd see me.
I think my...
And then he would notice that and he'd be like, what's that fuck over there doing looking all
kick
awkward?
Him out. Kick him out. I don't want him at my premiere.
Security. This man is bothering me from a distance.
I think my resentment for these Hollywood assholes would override my social anxiety. I would walk up to him because I know he's just a paid puppet. You are there as a photo op prop, you douchebag.
I don't think Patrick Stewart is a puppet.
You are going to take a selfie with me and I'm going to put it on my Tinder profile and I'm going to get laid. That's what you're there for.
Well, now you're the puppet.
There you go.
Yeah, now you're absolutely
then,
the puppet.
And then
wow.
Yeah, and he does all that, and you walk away, and he just thinks, wow, what a genuine asshole. What do I care?
I'm
doing this
Stewart.
For money, but that guy was just genuinely unpleasant.
I like unpleasant to imagine Patrick. Because I asked for a selfie. He doesn't know what goes on in my mind.
You told him that he's going to take a selfie. You didn't ask. You said you're going to take a selfie with me.
Oh, no, that's what goes on in my mind. You just politely smile to them.
Oh, okay. That's super different then. Okay.
Yeah, that changes the whole scenario then. I thought you were going up to him like, look, you're taking a selfie with me for my Tinder profile, and then you're
right,
going to suck
my
right
about
as
it.
As though they have any honor right to begin with. You could get in their faces and demand a selfie. What's he gonna fucking do?
Call security.
Yeah.
On who?
There's a lot
the person
do.
Who is invited. As far as he knows, you're on the same status as he is. As far as he, just say, hey, I'm Weinstein's left hand or right hand. I'm his man. So you better suck my dick like you sucked his, and then you get your selfie and you put it on Twitter and you get bragging rights.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't think I'd take the same approach. I'd be way too fucking afraid.
Yeah, I think I'd go right up and say, hello, Mr. Stewart. Sorry to bother you, but could I have a selfie? I think,
and then
know,
he would say, Sir Stewart, actually. Yeah. And then he'd pick you off.
And then I get arrested.
Right.
You piece of shit. Give me a selfie.
I honestly think he nailed that role. I don't know if you've seen the movie, Kai, but that was an inspired performance from Sir Patrick Stewart. Probably one of his
piece
best.
Of shit.
Yeah. Easily. Easily. Top three, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Off the top of my head, I'm trying to think what else he's been in that I could, like, compare it to. Like, what other
Star
shit
Trek.
Movies? Star Trek. No, but, yeah, but I mean like, shit movies.
Oh,
like,
shit movies.
Star Trek.
This is an IMDb mission, and I won't do that to you guys. But, no, great movie, though. Really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun. I recommend to the whole...
Logan. That was nice.
Oh, yeah, he is in those movies.
I haven't seen Logan yet.
Neither.
I haven't either.
That's okay.
On my to-do list.
I haven't either.
Like, I already know what happens, so, like, I can't really be spoiled, but, like, I still really want to see it.
I think it's a great story. I enjoyed it.
Do you ever get invested in something to the point where even though it's spoiled, you still react to it and feel like invested? Someone comes up and they're all like, oh, Robin dies at the end of this Batman story. And even when I'm reading it, I'm still like, whoa, Robin died. Holy shit. You know what I mean?
I think what happens is like I try to be surprised more. Like I try to force. So, for example, The Force Awakens was totally spoiled by some asshole on Twitter. You know, like Han Solo dies. Like, ah, damn it. But I didn't want to believe it to be true. Even though, like, why would they lie about that?
Yeah, so you then convince yourself otherwise.
I'm trying to convince myself. I do these mental gymnastics. Like, it doesn't really happen. It doesn't really happen. And then, of course, they're on the bridge. And he gets sabered, stabbed, whatever. And I think I tried to, like, feign some sort of emotion. Like, but let's just be like real. We all knew. Oh, fuck. But yes.
The way that I've kind of gotten into that mindset that helps me a lot is I don't care what happens. I want to see how it happens.
Yeah, so like that's a good point.
A lot of anime has that big problem where at the end, I like how I can literally just say the word anime and you guys start giggling. It's amazing.
I just like the phrase anime has the big problem of spoilers. it's the only problem anime has, I swear.
It is. Yeah. The flawless animation form from Nippon rarely suffers from incident, but this one, I just have to bring it up. But no, they often have the problem where at the end of an episode, they'll just spoil the next one. Like the famous Dragon Ball Z one when the Frieza saga was out, they're like, will Goku defeat Frieza? And then the title of the next episode is Frieza Defeated. Like,
amazing. Shit.
So to me, the way that I kind of still get in that groove and that mindset is I think, okay, I know that Frieza's going to get killed, but how? What's going to happen? You know what
That's
I mean?
That's true. That's something the title can't give away.
Exactly.
One of the worst experiences, do you guys remember or are familiar at all with You're the Man Now, Dog? .com,
oh, of course.
YTMND.
Okay. Absolutely.
Old staple of the internet. The fucking day that the seventh Harry Potter book, the last Harry Potter book came out.
I remember that.
You go to the front page of yourthemannowdog.com and it's littered with spoilers. Like, because, you know, seven people die in that book one by one in chronological order. Boom, 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 boom. They all die. And it was unfucking avoidable. And I, like, God damn it. It was just, like, in one fell swoop, right before I was about to read, because I was, like, heavily invested in the Harry Potter books because, you know, I was a, you know, sexless virgin. But I was crushed. But at the same time, it's like, but how, though? How does Fred Weasley die or whatever twin died?
You can rationalize it however you want, though. It still would have been better if that had completely been a surprise to you.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Who's Fred Weasley?
It was the dad. That was the dad, I think, right?
Yeah. No, brother.
No, Fred and George were the twins.
Yeah.
Oh, right. The dad had a weird name, right? Wasn't his name like Ubiquitous Esteban. Weasley? Oh.
Ubiquitous.
Esteban Weasley. That's
That was the Rogue Wild West of spoilers where people would drive up in their cars. For the lines for the book release and scream the ending and then fucking film it and put it on the internet.
Yeah. Honestly, as cruel as that video was, oh my God, that was a gold mine of comedy for me back in the fucking day.
Salty comments. You guys, remember when the people on Reddit spoiled The Force Awakens? Which might have been an even bigger spoiler than, I guess, the Harry Potter ones, right? Even more people invested in it. You know that subreddit, I'm going to hell or something?
Oh, I sure do. I'm going to hell for this. Yeah, I know that subreddit.
Yeah. Well, what they did is they reached the front page with a completely unrelated meme. So they're on the front page of Reddit, and turns out if the moderators of the subreddit change the flair of the thread, it's still visible on the front page. So they just changed the flair of the thread to spoilers, and it was just Han Solo dies, this person dies, they die. And everybody who visited Reddit that day, whether or not they're even subscribed to that subreddit, they saw the spoilers.
That's so fucked.
The front page for Reddit became a huge spoiler, and everybody was rushing to the thread to talk about how this is not funny. I get the point of this subreddit. It's, you know, it's things you go to hell for, but this is just beyond the pale. This is fun. This is not funny at all. You know, we can laugh at dead children all day, but,
you know, a lot of people were really excited for this movie.
Don't fuck with their Star Wars.
Don't spoil my Star Wars.
Angrily shaking their fists in the air. God damn this one.
You went too far this time. Too far.
Yeah. Oh. They targeted gamers.
Yeah, that'll learn them.
Oh, that'll teach them for sure. Yeah. And a good way to teach them even better is to slam the door in their face if they try to come to your house. In fact, don't even let them in your house because you can see who they are with Ring's doorbell system. Ring has a mission. It's to make your neighborhood safer. And you might already know about their smart video doorbells and cameras that protect millions of people everywhere because I literally just said it. They help you stay connected with your home anywhere in the world. You can see package deliveries, surprise visitors, and it's all thanks to their HD video and two-way audio on their devices. Charlie, you have a nice house. I have been to it probably like, I don't know, like what, 500 times by this point? Honestly, no exaggeration. Mm-hmm, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think about your Ring doorbell?
It's fucking great, man. Every time you knock, I know it's you. Not just because I understand that you come over to work out at the same time every day, but because I also check through my Ring doorbell just kind of for the fun of it.
Just spy on me just for fun.
Just to, listen, you know, maybe you're stealing a package from my front door or something. I'd always know. I'm always watching.
Yeah, I was wondering why it would take you 20 minutes to answer the door usually.
Yeah. That's what it was.
As a listener of this podcast, and if you're a fan of Jack's films, either one, we have a special offer on the Ring starter kit that's available right now, which has a video doorbell and motion activated floodlight cam. And the starter kit has everything you need to start building a ring of security around your home. Just go to ring.com/official to check out this offer. That's ring.com/. What is it, Jack?
I forgot.
Say Jack's films.
Yeah,
say your offer code.
Oh man,
shit, it's our so business. Embarrassing.
I totally just tuned out.
That's okay, but you can tune back in with two-way video doorbells thanks to Ring at ring.com/official.
Did you say it has a floodlight attached to it?
Yeah,
apparently that's part of the starter kit.
I know Ring has a, you can do this two-way communication thing where even if you're at the movies, you can talk to whoever is ringing your door. Does that mean if I was a dickhead, I could like give them seizures by flashing the lights in their face?
I guess it depends, really. I haven't used that feature on Andrew yet, but I guess I can give it a try.
Do so next time.
I'll keep my finger back on that dead man switch, yeah. This is a good segue, though, into a question I'd also like to toss your way, Jack.
Yeah.
You said you hadn't necessarily done your homework on the podcast, and that's fine. So this one might catch you off guard, but it's a staple of the podcast.
Sure.
Do you have any interesting masturbatory tales, like a masturbation story that many of us probably wouldn't expect or a very unique experience, perhaps, in that field?
Oh boy. I didn't know that was a tradition.
It really is. I'm not making it up.
Yeah. That's funny. No. Well, I don't, because I've never masturbated personally myself. You know, I'm waiting till we have kids to try that out.
Gross. I don't know what that means.
What the fuck does that mean?
It's like unlocking an achievement in a video game. You can't masturbate until you unlock kids.
That's right. Yeah. Then you can do it all you want. But I can't relate. Can't relate. Yeah.
Man of God, then.
Well, I try, you know. Yeah.
Purity and all that such nonsense, all that I guess.
And that business. Sure. Ah, man. I wish if I had done my homework, I would have had a much better answer for that. Damn.
You would have whipped something up yesterday just to be prepared.
You would have jerked off for the first time right before coming in.
I would have really done my homework. Yeah. Sure.
Would have adopted a kid.
Is it too late for me to ask or to turn the table on you guys? Like, what are some of the best stories you've heard or you've got in regards to that?
Well, that's kind of cute. I have a favorite one that one of our guests have told us, if you guys don't.
Wait, do you mean our tales personally or ones on the show that we've enjoyed?
Either or.
Oh, okay. Charlie, why don't you tell yours and jog everyone's memory then?
The problem is I don't remember who told this one because it was a really early episode, but
We'll see if we can guess. This will be nice.
Yeah. One of our guests was jerking off in a hotel room, and it was to like some, you know, the standard stuff, like the pay-per-view nonsense.
This was during the podcast, right? He was jerking off during the... Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. He was recording, he was telling us about it. It was something like... he was watching hotel television. It was like the plain, benign stuff that I'm sure we've all fiddled ourselves to growing up.
Gordon Ramsay, yeah.
Yeah, the cooking channel, the such. And yeah, he didn't have anything to catch the cum. So he did it over like a coat that he thought his parents weren't going to use during the trip, I believe.
Oh, I remember this one.
Yeah, and then the parents came back and got the coat, and the mom wore the semen-covered coat. I'm sure my details are spotty, but that was the gist of it.
That was David Cross, right? And he was telling the story from the perspective of another person he knew.
No. Logan Marshall Green told a story similar to that from another person. But one of our guests, a much earlier episode, told us a story in a hotel room. It was very similar to Logan Marshall Green's, where he was the one that came onto the coat. So maybe they both told the same story, like it wasn't genuine.
Yeah, maybe they're friends, and this, you know, the other person was always them.
I remember David Cross's was that he fucked the
refrigerator.
Jackson.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Refrigerator?
The one that I remember, I definitely don't remember who said it, but I just enjoyed the concept of it, where... it wasn't even due to a lack of resources or trying to not get caught, where every time he'd come, he'd just open the window and do it out the window. Yeah. I really enjoyed that one. I forgot who said that, but I just love that idea.
Was that like a fetish of his? Or
no, why should I have to clean it up? I can just put it out the window.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, right? Like, it made
sense. I've heard worse ideas.
He just fucking bombs away.
Every time I think of it, I just imagine him living on like the 10th floor and just whoever's below having the worst day.
It was casually explained, wasn't it?
It was? Oh, it might have been.
I don't know.
I think it was casually explained, yeah. Because he said he would just jerk off while making the videos and then just do it out the window because his computer was by the window.
Oh my god.
If any of you big names out there are listening to this episode, please message us and let us know you can claim your masturbation story.
Fuck that. Yeah. If any fan out there has any skills, use RPG Maker to make a trivia game of all the masturbatory stories and mashing them.
That'd be fun. I'd play Official Quest, the RPG Maker game about the podcast. That'd be great.
Right?
I'd love that. You get to like a troll on a bridge, and he's like, to pass the bridge, you must match the man to his masturbation tale. That'd be awesome. I'd play the fuck out of that.
I've heard there are some dedicated fans out there making a official dating sim in RPG Maker.
Oh, cool.
Wasn't that like almost a year ago?
I think it's a different group now. I'm not too sure. I just got a message the other day.
It's in development. It's going to be like Duke Nukem.
I'm excited for it.
I'd play it. Yeah. I am too.
I'll fucking
Jackson
play it.
Kai, do you have any that you can recall from a guest that you particularly enjoyed?
Oh, no, not really. I don't remember any.
You heard one
honest.
Masturbation story, you heard them all, you know?
Yeah.
They all kind of tie together.
There's one where I can't remember I can't remember who it was, but someone was jerking off and they just busted a nut directly into their own eyeball.
Ooh.
Was that someone on the show? Or was this just in the streets?
No. That was we were talking about self-sucking, and he was like, I tried it, but all I accomplished
Sark.
Was...
Sark. Yeah.
Sark?
Yeah. Sark's the only other one that has bonded with Andrew on self-dick-sucking on any level whatsoever. Yeah, that was Sark.
We should just attribute every story to Sark, because that man's just a fucking cavalcade of cool things that have happened to him.
Yeah, I was thinking about inviting him on for a bonus one of these days.
We should.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Oh, man. Do you have a good story in general, Jack? Just a fun tale, a whimsical yarn that we might enjoy?
Yeah, since you let us down with this one.
Yeah.
I really did. Oh, God. All right. Can you narrow it down for me? A story? Like
I got one.
To jerking off.
No. I've got the category then. A youthful, embarrassing tale. Something that you did while younger that you regret.
Okay, perfect. I got just the story. Okay. All right, gather gather around ye who would hear this and hear it well. When I was in middle school, there was this one friend of mine, Jason, who just never, ever, ever failed to make me like bust the nut laughing. Like this guy was just the funniest guy in class. And he was just wise beyond his years, just really like the smartest guy in class and therefore the funniest. And we were like pretty tight. So he would occasionally invite me over to, you know, his parents' place, and we would play like N64, like what would we play? Like a Clay Fighter 63 and a third, like just one of those
fucking
like
classic.
Yeah, you know it. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And this guy, so while we would play these goofy games, he would do all the voices. Like he would do all of these terrible voice impressions of, you know, all the characters on screen. And I would just start laughing. So one day in particular, he was extra funny, I guess. And I was laughing so hard that I quite literally sharted my jeans just completely and irrevocably. And I had to go excuse myself. I tried to play it off. And how do you play off shitting your jeans? Like there's no cool way to like, oh, I'll be right back, man. There's no,
well, you say, no, you say I just came in my pants. At least that's a little bit better.
You know what?
Then they
somehow
then they
more
think
acceptable.
You're a man. If you're a little kid, then you're impressing people.
Fuck, I just came because I'm such a heterosexual male.
Yeah, sorry, I was thinking about women, titties bro. Too hard.
Oh, that would have been so much better.
Instead of shitting yourself, you loser.
Yeah, fuck. So I go to the fucking bathroom and I'm there for like an hour, I guess, just trying to like clean up, salvage whatever mess I can. And
wait,
of course,
salvage. Like, hey, yeah, I mean, what are you saving it for later? Mom, look what happened.
I'm trying to like, yeah, thankfully it was his place. But it was rough, man. I was, so that was a really messy, terrible day for old Jack's Films. Wouldn't recommend that, but God, was he funny. God, did he know how to make a guy laugh. So much so that he crapped his pants.
Clearly, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you shitted yourself since then, perhaps?
Have I shitted myself since? Top of my head, you think I'd remember something like that, right? So I don't think so. I think I was a one-and-done type experience.
Mm-hmm,
But, man, I've come close.
I feel that, man.
Yeah,
I think my last shitted pants were, I already told the story, but I was probably like 13. I think that's when I finally kicked the habit.
13?
Yeah, somewhere in that ballpark.
What's the story there?
I was just playing City of Heroes and I'd sneeze so hard that I like diarrheaed out of my asshole and like completely shit up my parents' office chair.
Oh,
how
God.
Did you sneeze the shit out?
Yeah. Well, it was a really hard sneeze, I guess. I don't know. I had the shit, I guess, and I sneezed and I just diarrheaed all over the place and fucking annihilated that chair. Oh, it was God. As if like someone had turned over like a septic tank in my parents' office.
Ugh.
In that one particular location.
Was
it,
this
like I was?
Were you still smelling your own ass at the time?
No. I was way past that point.
Okay.
You gotta tell Jack about that.
There's a story there, isn't there?
Yeah.
I've had some weird habits. Shitting my pants was never a habit. It was just a couple of times, really.
Fun little accident.
Okay. Yeah. I love that you prefaced that whole story with, I finally broke the habit.
I didn't mean to mislead you. Sorry for the clickbait on the premise.
Oh, but no.
I did have a habit of smelling my own asshole growing up.
Ugh.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I think honestly, that's not that weird to me. I feel like that's kind of a kid thing to do.
Exactly.
I think we can relate to this. I had a habit of smelling wherever I just sat. If I was like sitting on a carpet floor as a kid.
What the fuck?
All right, you know
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you both?
I'll take ass smelling over that. That one's just weird.
Well, I had to make sure I didn't leave my mark, but oops,
what,
I always would.
What the fuck would you do if you did? Oh, I smell dookie. Uh-oh.
Like, it's not like
plan?
I cleaned it, right? I didn't have a plan.
I was
23. I didn't have a plan. All right.
Wait, you were 23?
I've grown older, and I wasn't 20.
Jesus, Andrew.
Well, maybe I don't know. Maybe he's like a hypochondriac. He's a super clean guy. He has to make sure he's
in his health.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah, I don't know. It's the best taste of indicator. Smelling your health. No, I'm not that guy.
I'm glad we could relate. At least So would you do that in public? Would you smell where you previously sat in public or just in the comfort of your own home?
I think in the comfort of my own home. But my parents definitely knew. Because, like, I heard them over... they weren't even subtle. They were, like, right in front of me. But they were, like, just talking, like, you know, he sniffs after where he smells, right? And I was, like, right there. But granted, I was, like, five, but mm-hmm. yeah.
Oh, well, you ever think they were... They were mad because you were hogging all the smells.
They weren't mad. They were just like, what the fuck do we do? Do we intervene or do we just let him like phase out? Like what do we do?
It's going to be a serial killer. Existence.
Cause like, I'm so glad I'm like, I don't know if I were a parent, I don't know what I would tell my kid if he started smelling where he sat. Like, do you just kind of like let him grow out of it? And
shove him back up there. Yeah. He's clearly not done cooking yet.
Oh god.
So okay, then we were both closeted ass enthusiasts, self ass enthusiasts.
Wait, Charlie, I've got a question to ask you. Then I can't remember the details of the story. When you say you smelt your own ass, do you mean did you rub your ass and then smell your hand, or did you like do some kind of weird gymnast move to get your face in your own ass?
Mm. No, I've never like rimmed myself.
In the region though.
No, not even. I've never been that flexible. I'm not a contortionist. I'd bend over in front of the mirror, like a porn star style, and just put ass as high in the air as I could, and then just rub it with the side of my hand and sniff that.
He had a funnel system with a little tube.
A Rube Goldberg device.
A one-man human centipede. The hose from your ass to your mouth. Wait, so did you wash your hands afterwards?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Oh, even okay. When I was a kid, I was a little afraid of germs, but the smell of my own ass was something it was an exception to the rule.
Yeah.
I never liked the smell of it. It was always repulsive to me, but I had to keep checking to make sure I wasn't starting to like it.
Oh, speaking of smelling ass. So I have this thing where when I go to the supermarket, I have to try new things because I get bored if I eat the same thing over and over. And cheese. Mm-hmm. Who came up?
I'm the same
with like
way.
90% of these cheese kinds where they all smell like shit. Literal shit, right. Not even exaggeration, this isn't hyperbole. All of them smell like unwashed ass. Not all, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. And you know what sucks? Some of them that smell like that taste really fucking good.
I can't.
It's always the tastiest
Andrew.
Ones. Smell the worst.
You can't, really?
No, I opened the I didn't know this up until like recently, just how bad they smelled. I just heard stories about this sort of stuff. So I opened the package and the whole kitchen just smell like I just put my nose up somebody's unwashed ass. Like, girl, you didn't wash this, did you? That's how it would smell. And I know immediately, okay, this has to be quarantined. So I get the Saran wrap it and just throw it in the trash. I can't eat that. I can't smell that because every time I'm about to put it on a piece of bread or something, I'm going to smell shit. That's not appetizing. Yeah. It's disgusting. And who was the first person who came up with this?
I think about that a lot. The first person to come up with like any type of food really must have been a super brave guy.
Exactly.
Just not even brave, but a fetishist. No matter what age, every cavemen knew what shit smelled like, and I assume they didn't eat their shit, right?
So yo, I'm gonna put this in my mouth.
Exactly.
Yo, like, dude, that smells like Dookie. Give me a piece.
Somebody left out a piece of cheese. Which was fine. And then it started rotting and had like these little maggots inside of it crawling, and it started smelling like sewage. And somebody looked at it and went, what are you going to do? Go still hungry good. For lunch? No.
Food science is fucking weird, Kaya. I mean, think about it in that same tangent. Who took the idea of, you know what would make this milk taste better? If we fucking infected it with bacteria, now we have yogurt. But yeah, let's basically rot it. It'll taste great.
Yeah. But see, then at least to all of your basic senses, it's not repulsive. It doesn't smell terrible unless you leave it out too long, right? Yogurt doesn't smell bad. Milk doesn't smell bad. Cheese, most don't smell bad. But this, there is an obvious warning sign, you would think, if it smells like the stuff that comes out of your back end, yet somebody thought it would be a good idea to put it on his tongue. And so I can't help but wonder, did this start as a fetish? Like maybe someone actually liked making cheese smell like ass, and he would rub it all over himself, some German dude in the like 1800s maybe, and then he accidentally got a piece of it in his mouth and he liked it.
Absolutely. No, I think it totally started as a fetish because we, the human race has just been historically horny, super horny.
Oh, yeah.
So I wouldn't put it past, you know, the caveman or whoever. Like, yeah, for sure.
Tried to fuck it. And as he's like vigorously fucking it, like a bit flew up into his mouth.
And he went, oh, like, good idea.
Hey.
Now, wait, Jackson, you said vigorously fucking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I got something that might help you get yourself into a position where you are vigorously fucking hot chicks, because it's Movement Watches. Movement Watches is a company started by two little guys in their basement saying, you know, I think that we can cut out the middleman with a bunch of watchmakers and get,
wasn't
get
a goddamn
it straight
basement.
To our...
Don't sell them short. Don't make them out to be these losers.
All right. In the basement of a mansion. It was a very nice basement.
No, and... still a basement. No, they were the badass couple from The Conjuring. They were busting ghosts and demons. And one day they decided, hey, you know what? How about a watch? Not even ghosts could resist. And we can catch
exactly.
them all. That's how you got MVMT.
So this
like
spooky
it.
October, you can fight off Ooh. Ghosts with your great sense of fashion. Like getting a movement watch for just $95. Jax Films is already super scared because of how scary good these deals are.
I like that.
Movement is able to give you these great prices on designer watches by selling online and cutting out the middlemen and all the retail markup and blah, 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 all the garbage that you don't need. Just get the watch. That's all that matters. Kaya. You were absolutely masculine and flexing your pecs here about fighting ghosts this October with a nice watch. So why don't you tell everyone how they can tell that it's totally not time for ghosts?
Jack, you have a movement watch and there's a good reason for it, isn't there?
I'm wearing it right now and I love my movement watch.
Goddamn right. This man has money and he chose movement watch because he's a smart spender. He knows that he could get a premium watch for a cheaper price. So you don't have to get spooked by going to the mall and looking at their watch prices for all the garbage they are selling you. Instead, you can go to mvmt.com/official and you will get 15% off, but just today, and free shipping and free returns if for some reason you decide that you do like to be haunted by inaccurate time. So go to mvmt.com/official and join the movement to banish the earth of demons and nuns.
Amen.
That was great.
Join the movement.
That was great.
Very, very Halloween themed. On that topic, Jack, do you have any incredible Halloween plans or Halloween stories?
So I got some stories. No plans. Yes, we are going to. So my wife and I are going to Vegas on Halloween weekend because Halloween's on a Wednesday this year. So the weekend before, we're going to be in Vegas because we want to see my wife and her girlfriends, and I guess me too. We all want to see the Backstreet Boys live in concert.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I like how he tried to dump it on her.
Yeah, I did. And they're like, no, fucking own up.
Feel no shame, man. For literally months, Charlie and I have talked about doing the same exact thing.
Is that
the
right?
Same thing.
Going
the
to
same
Vegas
thing.
For a splashling of other stuff, but mainly just to see the Backstreet Boys.
Can I tell you guys something? It's worth it. And I'll tell you why. We've seen them before, and they play every fucking hit. Like, it's not like they play everything from their new album and like maybe one or two songs from the 90s.
They have
Hell
a new
no.
album?
That, exactly.
Are they
right?
alive? Are they? Yeah. It's like the Backstreet Gentlemen
there,
at this point. They're
in their early 40s now, right?
They're all married and have kids,
geriatrics.
Man.
Yeah.
They're all in their 40s, or I think Nick's in his late 30s and everyone else is in their 40s, something like that.
Now, Jack, wait, I have a very important question about the show. You said you saw them before, right?
Yes, sir.
Do they still dance?
They still fucking dance.
Fuck yeah. I thought it was just mostly they like sat around and did like lounge singing style of the songs. That's
no,
awesome.
Dude, it's a full show. Lights,
that's fucking great.
Dancers, lights? But like they go bananas. It's not like Backstreet Boys Unplugged. No, it's a full on Vegas fucking show. And like you name it, they sing it. And it's actually pretty dope. It's like, oh, they still got it. That's kind of cool. It's like reassuring.
Compression
you know?
Sucks.
Wow.
Hold on. What are compression socks?
It's the thing old ladies will wear so they don't get, I don't know what it's really called medically, but an accumulation of water in their
socks.
Feet.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, they do. But that's, you know, that's just, you know, because they style. Have to.
Right.
Yeah,
it's what's in for their generation now.
That's right.
Varicose veins are the new tattoos.
Wow.
Ooh, I like that.
You're getting me actually hyped for this, Charlie. I think we need to actually start committing to making this trip because this sounds amazing.
I'm telling you.
When are you going, Jack? Can we tag along? Is it too late?
Hell no, you can tag along. It's Friday. It's like the Friday before Thanksgiving. The Friday before Halloween.
we'll meet you there.
Yeah,
sounds like
a little tight.
A horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Going on a trip the day before Halloween. Alone in an hotel room. What are you going to do?
The Backstreet Boys nearby.
Oh, it's like one of those like old ass Scooby Doo cartoons where like Scooby meets Globetrotters. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
On tonight's episode of Scooby Doo, they meet the Backstreet Boys.
Critical meets the Backstreet Boys. It's like when Simpsons does shit. It's like when Homer says, "Lady Gaga, what are you doing in Springfield?" And I fucking hate that shit. No, it's great. What about you guys? So those are our very non-Halloween plans, but I'm hoping you guys have something a bit more sinister and spooky planned for the occasion.
No, we're all going to see the Backstreet Boys as well.
Okay, right.
You've sold us.
That was easy.
With all the money I saved with my movement watch, I can afford the trip.
Hey, my man.
my honest to God Halloween plans are probably just go to the local bars and drink usual.
So what's your poison? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to add on to what he's saying. Last year, we dressed up as sexy nuns and went to bars for costume stuff. So I'm guessing we'll do something similar again.
It's what spawns the spinoff, The Nun, currently in the theaters.
Is that right? Yeah.
Let me tell you, man, that costume was made for women. But being a 6'4", over 200-pound man, it fit me perfectly.
I hope you fucking rocked it.
I bought the extra large, and I even asked the woman when we went there. I was like, "Hey, I'm a big dude, and like this is a woman's extra large." And she was like, "No, you'll be fine. It fit fucking flawlessly." I was very impressed.
Damn, she knows her stuff. She knows her costumes.
Yeah, it was great.
She was working at the sex store. She has to know her stuff. She's got to be on her A game.
Oh man,
was your question about pick what's your poison? Like, what do I drink? Was that it?
Yes, that was it.
I'm glad you asked. I've been waiting for an opportunity to promote this drink, and I'm sure you can agree, being a man of fine taste, Jack, it's a vodka Coke.
Any vodka Coke?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very underrated and unknown. Really needed some promotion here.
Really?
Yeah.
You would be very surprised how many people give me shit for ordering vodka Coke during happy hour.
Yeah, and they correctly do.
Well, why correctly? I guess it's not the norm.
It's a bad. It tastes like shit.
It
tastes fine.
You know, one of Charlie's friends, was it Caleb? What was it? Him and his girlfriend. What was their names?
Oh, yeah, it's Caleb and his girlfriend. He probably wouldn't want us saying her name, but yeah, Caleb and his girlfriend.
Yeah, I didn't want to seem rude looking like I forgot, but I did. I was getting a vodka and Coke, a rum and Coke when we went to the frat party place. And he immediately asked me, "Are you getting vodka and Coke?" And I asked him, "What do you want me to get?" And he had no answer. Right? I mean, that's the thing too. Like when you ask him, "Well, what do you want me to drink?" Doesn't make any difference. Isn't the point to just get drunk? Who cares what I'm drinking?
Yeah. Like who are you to judge? You know, it's we're all getting to the same result. You know,
we're here to do wine tasting. I don't give a shit what I drink as long as it gets me there.
I will concede that it is a means to an end, and I'm totally on board with that. At the end of the day, I will drink anything. But to me, when you're at happy hour and you reach that kind of level where you're sipping on stuff, it's like I don't want to be sipping on something that tastes bad. You know what I mean?
I think it tastes fine. What about you, Jack? What's your opinion on a vodka Coke?
Well, first of all, who the fuck sips during happy hour?
Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
That's my question. Sipping? Get the fuck out of here.
Fair. Fine. Fine, politely slurping. I don't know. What's the...
That's a little better, I guess.
What's the term when you're like five deep and it's like, I'm going to take this one slow, whatever that one is.
Being a pussy.
Yeah. All right,
pussying? Yeah. All right, fine. Apparently, I'm just not man enough for the drink. That's fine.
Jack, what you don't know is that Andrew is a lightweight, and I think most of these guys are. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll have to go drinking some time and see who... the real lightweight is. But,
who's face down in the vomit first? I like the challenge.
Yeah. Make a game out of it. So when I'm feeling okay, I got a few choices. So my regular go to if I'm really boring, which I am, is a vodka club. I'll just get a vodka club, maybe with like a spritz of lime or some shit, and that's like so I can stay hydrated while I drink. And if I don't care about hydration, then I'll rev it up to either a Di Serone on the rocks, which is not very, you know, it's not potent, but it's tasty. It's nice. Or my ultimate go-to, if Aaron lets me, is a Long Island.
Long Island, yes.
Oh, my Lord.
She hates when
yes.
I get those. She's like, oh, don't. You get so angry when you drink those.
No,
don't.
Dude, Long Islands at every bar in the whole world, cheap, strong as shit, get you fucked. Long Islands are like a godsend to fucking casual drinking.
What are Long Islands?
They're literally cocktail, some guy out in some fucking tropical paradise somewhere went, you know, I love drinking, but I'm not getting shit-faced quick enough. So a Long Island is literally like four different alcohols and some Coke, and that's it.
Yeah. So I'm reading right now. I just it's a triple sec vodka, tequila, rum, and gin.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And then with a little splash of Coke normally. I usually get it with a club soda, but Coke also just makes and it, here's the thing. It's dangerous because it tastes fucking good for a thing that has five
and
liquor.
Too.
It tastes good.
Yeah.
Mm. I hate gin. I hate gin though. Would it still taste?
You don't even taste.
You really don't taste it. You taste the Coke more than anything. The Coke and the lemon juice. Huh.
If you mix Long too Island many things, amazing. You only end up tasting alcohol plus whatever mixer you're using.
Honestly, a Long Island's probably my favorite mixed drink overall. But that's something like you have to. It's not something you'd get at happy hour because that's not something they'd offer. But that's kind of been not really a tradition, but when Andrew and I go out and we're bar hopping, there's a bar in our area called Yard of Ale that does this thing called a yard.
Oh, yeah.
You can order. Yeah. So you'd get a Long Island in the yardstick. So you're just walking around. Yeah. So you're just walking around with this giant dildo full of like nine alcohols. It's beautiful.
So Charlie's secret plan when we do that, at least the last time we did it, is I was waiting. I think I was talking to some of your friends outside the bar and he went, I'm going to go get us Long Islands. And I went, do it. And he came back out and he brought two of the Long Islands. He like sipped on his a little bit and I had mine and he went, hold this real quick. And then he just disappeared. So here I am just double fisting these big gay fruity drinks, just wandering the bar alone. And then he came back. And then he came back and found me, and he had gotten himself a different drink. So here I am with these big towering floppy dicks of fucking alcohol. And meanwhile, he's apparently been doing God knows what for 30 minutes. So what I'm saying is don't let Charlie order you a yard. He'll just make you have it.
That's noted. True. Noted.
I typically drink it. It's just that particular night, a bunch of my old friends were out, so I was at the bar with them as well. And Andrew, he was talking to some other people and didn't come.
That's true.
That was his fault.
And also, nice. To be fair,
Charlie is
a good drinking
buddy, but only on Friday nights, basically. Other than that, he's Ned Flanders and kind of judging.
And also, Charlie, to be fair, I think over time I did drink both of those anyway, so it wasn't that big of a deal.
And you're welcome, by the way.
They're good.
I'm waiting a long time for you to thank me.
They make good Long Islands.
Charlie, you were the only person. We were, I think this was the evening of the convention that we went to. So we come back from the con. It's us and I think three other people, like your friends / fans kind of people. And we're at your place and I'm sitting on your couch. I have my legs up. For some reason, I was like immobilized. Either I had my legs up and I was way too comfortable or Tetra was next to me or something. And I craned my neck back and I asked, hey, can I get a drink? Can one of you get me a drink, please? And no, everybody ignored me. Everyone. There was seven people in that goddamn room and every single person just fucking ignored me, acted like, oh, I'm not hearing this sad cry for more alcohol. And then I saw Charlie and I locked eyes with him. And he knew, I knew. He started smiling, and he went, I'll get you a drink. And he got me a drink.
Aww.
Now, Kaya, let's also Charlie give everyone let's give it's everyone else some credit, though. This is the man who How many times during the week that you were here did you say that exact phrase just to anyone who was listening? Kai is literally the friend where he's thirsty and wants a drink. There is, if he can avoid it, there is no way in fuck he's getting that drink himself. He will find any patsy that he can. How many times did you say, hey, can someone get me a drink? Can you get me a drink while you're up? Can you grab me a drink?
2 or 3 times at best. Okay. One was
that's a lot.
Come on.
That adds up, man. That adds up.
It was I remember only twice. One was during our podcast recording where I asked Charlie's girlfriend to get me a drink, and she did, like a decent human being.
And oh, that's nice.
It was after the convention where I asked Charlie, can you get me a drink? And he did, like a decent human being. Other than that, you know, I pour my own drinks. You're the one coming into Charlie's home gym judging me. First of all, I'm working out. I'm the one not being lazy, working out, doing kettlebell swings and pull-ups. But you're coming and judging me because I'm drinking a screwdriver because that's my workout drink.
That was the only thing I was pointing out. You have a workout drink.
What does that mean?
Functioning adults don't have an alcoholic workout drink.
Screw you.
That's all I was pointing out. You can drink and work out. I don't care. You're stronger than me at the end of the day. You're probably in better shape than I am. And that's all great and good. But the fact that you went, I need to work out, where's my screwdriver, is when I went, well, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Well, maybe that's a secret to my power, Andrew, and maybe it's the alcohol and it's all the vital minerals, Charlie.
It's the secret to liver disease.
Do you guys all work out together?
Andrew and I do. The other two guys live on the other side of the planet, but Andrew and I hit the gym together.
I love it. That's adorable. Mm-hmm.
It's fun. Shit.
Yeah.
You too might be able to find a workout buddy if you use ZipRecruiter.com. You can find a whole bunch of job listings. Maybe there's a workout friend there for you. Tell them about it, Andrew.
If you're looking for jobs or you want to post jobs for hiring, you could use a site that would send you a ton of wrong resumes to sort through. And that's not smart. There's a lot of job sites out there that'll make you wait for the right candidate to apply for your job. And that's not smart. You know what else isn't smart? Using your relatives to fill in for you at work while you're looking for staff. That's just not smart. There's a lot of not smart ideas out there, like making the lottery the centerpiece of your retirement plan. What are you thinking? No. People need to work. They need fulfillment in their jobs and in their life. And if you need to fill a job or have a job filled for you, you can go to ZipRecruiter.com/official to hire the right person. They don't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. It's got a powerful matching technology that scans thousands of resumes, identifies them, and sorts them by skills, education, experience, actively inviting them to apply for your job so you can get candidates fast. It is the number one, ZipRecruiter's number one, not number two, not number six, not even number one in like, you know, a little subsection of, oh, the Northeast. No, the number one rated by employers in the U.S. job website. So if you want to post your job, find the right candidates, you can go to ZipRecruiter.com/official and get your qualified candidates fast. That's ZipRecruiter.com/official. Now, normally I would ask Jackson, because he's the only boy who hasn't done an ad, to help me out with here. But Jack, could you just spell ZipRecruiter for me here?
I sure could. ZipRecruiter is ZipRecruiter.
You nailed it.
/official.
Well,
S?
No. S.
Oh, wow.
S.
Whoa.
That took us by surprise.
I get my letters confused, fellas. Oh.
You
that must be his personal link for his sponsorship deals.
Yeah, really. But if you want to take it from the four smart guys in this episode, you can go to ZipRecruiter.com/official, OFFICIAL.
Damn it.
And take advantage of the number one rated employer website in the United States. Jack, I'm sorry. If this were a spelling bee, you would have gotten the little bell.
Mm. Ah, damn it. Damn it. Isn't it a buzzer?
No, they use a little bell because it's more polite.
Oh, yeah. I see. Probably crushed too many. The buzzer probably crushed too many feelings.
I've always felt weird about that, where in spelling bees, you get a little bell if you get it wrong. But if you get it right, they just say, that's correct. Like, why couldn't they just say, I'm sorry, that's incorrect or something? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it would be more of a Pavlonian response if it were a bell and it was correct, right?
Yeah.
I thought you meant you wanted like a massive celebration whenever they got an answer correct, like fireworks go off, just come out. The whole fucking stage transforms. You got it right.
Everyone would want a spell. You're and all the going, kids would go, damn, man, this looks awesome.
You're going to the next level. And then they start rising on a giant platform to the next stage.
Sounds like that old arcade game Panic Park at that point.
What's that?
You guys didn't play... Oh, Jesus. That's an old arcade game I used to play. It was kind of like that.
Panic Park.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, no.
It looks incredibly Japanese.
Yeah, it was a Disney Quest. That's how I remember it.
Huh.
Well, Jack, I've got a question for you. So you recently took Yesterday I Asked You to the live show format. Is there anything you'd like to talk about in that regard? I know you've had a little bit of technical hiccups and there, so apologies.
Many.
Always, you know,
so many
platform here.
Yeah, man. So, I had this idea, I don't know, a year ago to somehow gamify this Yesterday I Asked You show. And because people, more than they want to like watch it, they want to be on the show. They want to be a part of it. So I've been trying forever to figure out, all right, how do we figure this out? How we turn into a game? And so finally, I just had a eureka moment. Let's just do it on Twitch. Everything's built in on Twitch, right? Like you can, the thing I love about Twitch that you can't do on YouTube Live yet is that when you can, like I ask a question and people submit answers on Twitch, but they use a code. They type an exclamation point and then, you know, four or five characters and then their answer. And I can track all of those on a separate spreadsheet that only I can see, so that like I can read off their answers as they come in at my own pace, and I can like, you know, highlight which ones are blah, blah, blah. The point is Twitch allows you to do that in the chat. And then there's a voting segment. So like I pick five good answers that I like, and I come back with a poll and I say, all right, guys, here are your top five answers. It's time for you to vote. And they literally vote by typing in the chat 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, that, you know, whatever number corresponds with the answer on screen that they like. And it's just so beautifully integrated. And I love that about Twitch. There's just the technology is, I mean, like I'm still learning, you know, more and more about it every day. I'm very much a novice at this whole Twitch thing, but I just love this level of interaction. Like you can, if you have a Twitch account, you can play this virtual game on your fucking phone. Like, you know, you don't even need the app. You just go to the URL and it's all there. And so I'm still, as you mentioned, I'm still ironing out all the kinks. You know, sometimes we have a game and sometimes we don't. But when it works, it's really, really cool. It's kind of neat when it comes together. It's like a real, it's like a game. It's like a live game show, I guess. We play twice a week, every Tuesday and every Friday. And thousands of people join up every session. It's we have our own little community, and it's free to play. You don't have to be like a paid subscriber or anything like that. If you have a Twitch account, you can play, and that's how we see it.
Yeah. It's really well done, too. It's a nice big old production that he puts on over there.
Oh, thanks, man. Thank you. Yeah, I try to dress it up like a little show. Like, there are quote-unquote commercial breaks. So, like, while I'm going in and, like, making the polls and finding answers, I'll throw up, like, an older sketch or, like, a little highlight reel or something. Or we have, like, our own little mini Kids Bopify It mini games, and that's a whole thing in its own. But, it's a lot of fun. That took weeks to put together, because we had to write music for it. We had to get animations made for it. And I literally had to have guys come over to my house to figure out the coding for it and, you know, explain to me what the fuck a Stream Deck is. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. And now we can get to a less nice topic. Are you prepared to get absolutely fucking manhandled in our DDR showdown should you ever publicly accept the challenge?
Oh, I was wondering when you'd bring that up. Oh, please, please. And honestly, this is so sad. I used to have a working DDR system. Like, I used to have a mat. I've gone through like 3 mats, dude. I have no luck with DDR mats. They keep breaking under my colossal obese weight, I guess. I don't know. Something. Long story short, I want, like, you have a fucking great setup. Whenever I see a video or even pictures, like, you got the full arcade experience at your home. So I'm going to show up unannounced. I want to make it a surprise. I'm not going to give you a fair warning. Yeah, I'm going to track
you
down.
I'll see you through my ring doorbell. You'll never surprise me.
Ooh, good. Way to bring that back. But I'm so down for something. We got to make that happen.
I'm glad you came on before that showdown, because I don't think you'll be talking to me after the fucking brutalization. Andrew's seen these fiery feet in action. Tell him about it, Andrew.
Please.
So it's a hot topic for debate here, because Charlie is what I like to call a bar baby. If you gave him a regular mat with no bar, he would be waddling like a toddler everywhere.
I'd wipe the floor with you, Charlie. If you didn't have that fucking, if you didn't have that bar, I see you with the bar. That bar's for chumps. All right.
So here's the thing. When we first we were getting into DDR, I was already into it before he was kind of picking it up, but I just literally had like my computer and a USB mat, and that was it. And I did it as cardio. Like, my whole point was, oh, I'm just going to do it, you know, after a workout and just do it for fun. So I got pretty decent at it, but, you know, under the limitations of I didn't play it that often and I didn't have a bar and it wasn't a legit setup and this and that. So he got the big machine and he very quickly outpaced me in skill. He's way better than I am now. But
really?
I do think that he has a little bit of the handicap in the bar, in that if they took it away, I think like his power level would be halved.
Not like a good argument. You can make that about like anything. LeBron James is good at basketball, but if you took away dunking, I don't think he'd be as good at basketball. You know, it's a dumb
argument.
That's
not true at all. No. I think LeBron James would be just as good at basketball without dunking.
Absolutely not. That's so not a fair analogy.
Yeah.
Although it's part of the game. The bar is just a handicap.
I can't do it with the bar. Every time I go to an arcade,
You know what the bar is? You know how in bowling, when little kids want to try bowling, they bring out that big slide and then push the ball down? That's what the bar is.
You're the gutter rails.
Jack, let me ask you if you agree with me on this like this. So I got for DDR for the whole, like, dancing rhythm of it. Once you get to where you're just stomping your feet as quickly as you can and you need the bar, that's not dancing anymore.
No.
Oh, Jesus, here we go again.
It's a dance.
Video games aren't art. All right. I've heard it a million times.
By that point, then what's the difference between that and just getting a controller and pushing the buttons with your fingers? It's the same shit.
Well, you burn fucking 800 calories an hour. That's one difference.
Look, it does take more physical ability, but by that point, it's like... You're just tapping buttons to a rhythm. To me, it's like there's some semblance of like dancing when you don't go super crazy, you know?
Okay, I'm going to have to disagree. That's where you and I disagree. DDR never at any point looks like someone dancing. Dancing looks cool.
I'm not trying to say by dancing that it's actual dancing. I'm trying to say that it has like a dancey rhythm to it. Whereas when you're just stamping the buttons, you're just kind of like, you know, quickly mashing your feet as fast as you can.
Sure. Maybe in like medium mode. I'm trying to like gauge where exactly that is. Cause you're right. You do have a point. Like it can kind of look like a rhythm type, you know, movement. But when you get to extreme, like, which is where I'm at, of course, then it's gobbledygook. It's like a typewriter.
Just matching what's on the screen.
All I'm saying is I am much more impressed. Like, you can take the guys who play at the expert level tournaments and literally they just hold the bar and their feet move so barely that it looks like they're just standing in place really quickly. That's fine. I'm much more impressed by the people who memorize the charts and do actual dances with the fucking arrows.
That's way cooler
to watch and way more fun.
That shit's impressive. That shit is like, I don't even know how long that would take. Sometimes they face the audience, as in they face away from the screen and do it that way.
Exactly.
You know?
That's cool.
You guys remember when we went to Dave and Buster's?
Yeah, those two guys.
Two lunatics that just stood at the dance machine all night. They were there for like 8 hours.
They had towels.
They had their squad with them, wiping them down after every rotation.
Shut up. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And they were doing... They were doing these complex maneuvers where they were jumping over each other onto each other's plates and stuff. It was like, it's pretty insane. That was the first time I've seen anything like that.
I would pay good money to see that.
But it was step it up, so it was kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, pump it up.
Or pump it up. Yeah, the bastard child of DDR.
Yeah, what's the difference? Like, what's the arrow arrangement for stepping up?
Oh, it's an X with a little middle arrow.
Got it.
The X with middle.
Yeah.
That's not. Have you seen this new one in Japan? It's the whole floor is like a touchpad, and you like slide like the whole.
Ooh. Oh, that's cool.
The whole floor like lights up. Of course, I can't remember the name for it, but it kind of looks like the next big thing if it ever takes off in the States. But it's
sounds like you have a stake in the company or something.
I can't legally say that I'm invested in it.
With it fucking taking off here, though, is because our arcade scene is such shit, it's going to be crammed in Dave and Buster's where you have to wait behind like 30 kids try it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Andrew, what do you want? A VIP fast pass for adults?
I'd love to go to Japan and try their arcades where they actually have like a big amount of machines and shit. And not just
kids. You're going to be waiting behind some 16-year-old with a towel.
There's a big difference between where if you're in America and Dave and Buster's goes, we got the new DDR slide machine, and they have one machine and it breaks immediately and everyone's crowding it, as opposed to where you go to Japan and they're like, hey, we got 30 new DDR slide machines. It's like there's a big difference, you know?
Yeah, and also 2 billion Asians right there to use it. I feel like you're going to be just as disappointed once you take your Japan trip, Andrew. You're going to come back shell-shocked. You're going to hate Japan. You're going to be like, this is not like anime. This was horrible. They all laughed at me. They called me a gaijin and kicked me out of the arcade.
I expect Super Saiyans at the airport and like giant monsters everywhere I go. And every time I walk in a building, I catch a girl changing and she goes, get out, senpai, every single time.
But she likes it and calls you back.
Yeah, she blushes.
Big titted cab driver, like, Ginki desu, Andrew-san.
Anytime anyone ever falls over, I can see their underwear just perfectly every single time.
Oh, yeah.
And you get a nosebleed.
Yeah. That's exactly what I expect, 100%.
Hey, you guys ever play a Beat Saber?
Yeah, I love Beat Saber. That's here too.
Honestly, that's that could be the next like this generation's DDR. If they somehow figure out how to make VR more portable, more accessible to everyone, and way cheaper, and that you don't need like a crazy, you know, $3,000 PC to, you know, run the whole thing. If they can figure all that out, Beat Saber could be like the next big thing.
Beat Saber's insane. I agree.
I think Beat Saber's great.
I think the big leap we're waiting for, the one that'll finally push it into like everyone is buying it, is we make it wireless. I think that's the one holdback.
Well, that's what.
Like wireless and so that you don't need a fucking Alienware computer to power or just something like because that's there are all these things attached, not even just physically, but like there's so many caveats that come with VR, and that's the reason. And also you need so much space. That's the other thing. Like you can't. It's not just like the living room. You need like those two big. I don't know, like light stands practically that are like 15 feet apart from each other so that you have the 3D space and, you know, the spatial awareness and stuff.
It's excessive.
It's excessive. You need a garage, basically, is what you need. So, like, and not everyone has that. So if they can figure that out. Happen. Oh, yeah. Like, give it a couple of years, I think.
A lot of years. I think at least maybe 2 decades until it's viable for the mass populace. That's why all the big... online games, they always keep their graphics simple, like World of Warcraft, CSGO. You could run it on your phone, right? Which is why people, even third world countries, children in internet cafes can play it. Meanwhile, people in first world countries don't even know what an internet cafe is anymore. But it's accessible to everybody, and I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon with VR.
Shit's just too primitive at the moment. Yeah, but I think they're making a lot of improvements. The next iteration, they've already got wireless, to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
The next integration of Vive, the Mark II of Vive, is wireless in a sense. You still have like every single pack that uses the wires, but the headset itself doesn't, I think.
Yeah, that's a big step. That's a step in the right direction. Yeah.
It's getting there, and that's only been out for what, a year, year and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
So it's going pretty fast.
I don't know. I think they're going to run into problems. A lot of problems, and it's not going to be just that easy. I mean, how much do those things cost?
Oh, $600, man.
Yeah. Not including the shit you need to run it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it adds up. But, like, I think I think they're onto something. I mean, like, and AR is another thing that people are trying to figure out. Like the latest, the last iPhone, you know, announcement conference or Apple event, it was so much about the AR capabilities of the phone, right? And right now, I don't, you know, people don't fucking use AR apps and games on their phone.
It just puts stickers in the world. What's
that?
It just puts stickers in the world or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we don't know how to, like, properly use it in a practical sense. It's just, it's a very, yeah, it's very gimmicky right now. But if we can figure out, like, actual real-world applications and better games, because nobody's playing the fucking shooters that use, you know, real-life surfaces and you use your table as the battlefield. Like, nobody fucking does that. But, you know, I think there's something there. So I think there's going to be some weird marriage of AR and VR. I don't know how, I don't know what, but I don't know. It's,
I totally agree with that. There was a, I watched a video from some YouTube guy who made a AR Yu-Gi-Oh, just like in Yu-Gi-Oh season one.
Oh, so that'd be so fucking cool.
That's
holy shit.
You play your cards on your phone, like, you know, I want to play the Blue Eyes. So you scan the Blue Eyes on your phone, it shows up in the world on AR with your glasses on, your Google glasses, whatever the fuck they are. And I don't quite know the terms or what they are, but then you see it just like you would in the show. And I thought that was a really interesting and fun use of AR.
See, that's,
it made me kind of optimistic.
That's inventive. Yeah, we need more people like that thinking of, like, thinking outside the box instead of shitty, you know, Apple games or, you know, whatever. Like, that's innovative. And I like that.
Fuck, man. I hope he releases that soon. I forgot all about it till you brought up the AR thing. Hmm. I want to see his updates. He's probably got this shit in the real world now. Fuck AR. He's probably built, like, a Yu-Gi-Oh! Pegasus Coliseum now. That guy is on to some gold over there.
Genius shit.
Yeah, for real, man. So what big ideas do you have cooking up? What can we expect from you in the future, Jack?
God damn. Man, I'm trying to, like, besides the whole YouTube thing, which I'm trying to keep afloat for as long as I can, I'm trying to branch out more into the Twitch world, and it's a specifically the Yai Live thing, the Yesterday I Asked You Live thing, just because I think there's a lot of untapped potential there, and I'm trying to see where else I can take this game show. You know, like, where else it can live or how else it can live. So I don't want to reveal too much. And it's just I'm talking with some guys and trying to figure out what's next for this Yai Live thing and where else we can take it. So
national tour, I'm calling it right now.
That's honestly, that's one of the things we have talked about. Like, you know, that's not a terrible. Yeah, I was talking with my manager.
VIP tickets for life now. I get to come to all the shows.
The Willy Wonka's gold ticket.
Fuck. Just like that. But yeah, just trying to figure out how to, you know, gamify that. I keep going back to that word. But yeah, besides that, not too much. Not too much. Just kind of keep trucking along. You know, YouTube changes every day, so that's always a fun game to play. Like, which Shane Dawson vid's trending right now, you know? It's but that's a whole other story. That's a whole other podcast.
Oh man, not to to poke the sleeping bear here, are you not a fan of his docu-series on Jake Paul and such?
Oh no, I'm not a fan, but I have not kept up with it. I just kind of, like, and I'm not speaking for everyone, but I got a little tired of it recently, because it's just like there's no point. Like, I don't think, is Jake Paul a sociopath? I don't think that's the question. Because then we're trying to, like, justify his actions. And it's like, I don't want to justify the Paul brothers' actions. Like, we shouldn't be giving these guys the time of day. So why are we trying to, like, figure out, like, what's the secret? What's the method behind the madness? And it's like, there is none. They just know how to exploit YouTube titles, and they know what kids like. And that's as simple as that. There's no sob story behind it.
I think the whole Shane Dawson thing is romanticizing drama too much. That's my main problem with it.
Okay.
Just cultivates that whole ecosystem.
Yeah.
Mine is a... Well, I'm sorry.
No, please.
I was just going to say, the biggest problem I have is he makes these videos. The Jake Paul one is the biggest one. It's just like a fucking vacation. Like, the latest one, I don't keep up with them. I skim through them. I honestly can't stand them, because it's just nonsense, and it's going to be inconclusive stuff. It's just speculation and then overreactions.
Yep.
But the latest one he put up is he goes to Jake Paul's house and just, like, rides a dune buggy with Jake Paul and vacations around his home. And he's like, oh, Team 10's great. Oh, this is Team 10. But Jake, you're a sociopath. Oh, I love Team 10. Uh-huh. And now I'm doing a kickflip on a skateboard. I'm just watching Shane Dawson, you know, have a vacation.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it. And like, honestly, to his credit, to Shane's credit, the fact that he's making tens of millions of people watch 40, 50 hour long YouTube videos at a time is incredible.
Oh, man, yeah.
It's game changing. Like, you can't take that away from him. And like, it's making these docuseries is a very cool medium, but
it's definitely a testament to how engaged the audiences are to the drama.
Yeah. And I watched the first four episodes, I think, in full. And it was like the fifth one. And then I was just like, I'm not invested in this, because it's just you're exactly right. Like, it turns into like, let's humanize them a bit. And it's like, I can already hear people saying, what's wrong with humanizing Jake? You know, and it's just, I don't know. There's no real point to be made. It really, you said it beautifully, where it's just like watching him be on vacation, you know, drinking the Team 10 juice.
Is going to say that.
Okay, fair enough.
I frankly don't think they give a fuck.
You have a point. You have a very good point. It's just like, I'm over it. You know, like, it's a great idea to make this docuseries, but I'm kind of over it. And
yeah, especially from Shane's perspective, he had the financial means to make it extremely well produced, which it very much is. Mm-hmm. And he stretches it across eight fucking parts on the same topic. It's unreal.
Yeah.
The way he's able to milk the topics for that long and keep the audience engaged the whole time is nothing shy of remarkable.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, that is a feat in itself. And you mm-hmm. can't argue that. So mm-hmm. I give him props for keeping people engaged for 2 or 3 hour blocks, you know, worth of series.
This is the question I want to ask, though.
Yeah.
Jack, mm-hmm. in your honest medical opinion, is Shane Dawson a sociopath?
No, I don't think he's. I don't think either of them are sociopaths. I think Shane is very smart in that he knows how to market a series, because, like, going back in the very first tweet or the teaser video, I suppose, for this whole Jake Paul series, he says, like, it shows clips of Jake Paul's, you know, hellish, chaotic lifestyle. And then it ends with Shane looking at a laptop, and he just kind of says, like, I think Jake's going to be mad when he finds out I'm doing something that he doesn't think. I don't know. It's some good cliffhanger. Yeah, so people are like, oh, he's going to shit on him. Nice. He's not afraid. And that was very like, and of course, it hasn't quite lived up to that promise, but he was really like, that's genius marketing. It's all about tea. It's all about wigs being snatched. That's what he knows gets views and engagement, and that's what he knows his fans like. They want to see the quote-unquote tea spilled. And a little piece of me dies whenever I use one of those fucking metaphors and slogans.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't think he's a sociopath. He's very, very good at what he does. He's a great editor. He's a great producer, and he's a very good marketer. I think sociopath mm-hmm. isn't quite the correct classification for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
You heard it here first. BetterHelp counselor Jax Films has accurately and professionally diagnosed Shane for all of us here.
God fucking damn it. Oh my God. I got a little bit of flack for that, because I was one of the disgusting YouTubers that did a BetterHelp promotion. And this was before I knew any of the you know, the controversy, because I don't get brands by myself. I feel like I should let viewers know. I have a couple of managers that come to me with brand deals, and I don't know how you guys do it with yours, but I have one guy from Full Screen. You know, that's my MCN. I have another guy with another company, and you know, I don't read all the terms of service, like all the conditions and the contracts. I kind of assume that these guys vet it for me. You know what I'm saying? So somehow the BetterHelp thing slipped through the cracks. And, you know, I did not know the actual controversy behind it. So I do apologize. And that's on me. I didn't think I had to read the TOS.
No, you're definitely in the same position as a lot of YouTubers. There's nothing.
Nobody fucking knew that was a scam. There was just one rogue guy on Yelp must have read all their terms, man.
Yeah.
That's such an incredible controversy that sprung up, because there was that debate not long ago about how useless terms of service are, and then it really played a huge role here. And, you know, whether or not BetterHelp is a scam, I guess, is still up to interpretation and up in the air and everything. But I don't think anyone who promoted it is at fault. I feel like the intentions behind it were pure, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the best way to put it. Yeah. Like you get X number of brand deals. You know, I think one is inevitable that one will fall through the cracks. I mean, I don't know. I'm not doing it justice, but I was caught in the dark. I guess I got a little bamboozled myself, you know.
Could happen to anyone, man.
Yeah, well.
100%, man.
But that being said, betterhelp.com/official, right?
We're still taking the fun.
It's not too late to sign
up. We gotta draw the stuff out, at least.
Hey-o.
Yeah, we're at that point, Jack, so go ahead and plug anything you'd like, and really appreciate you coming on, man.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. This was a blast. If you listeners liked anything of what I was saying, on YouTube, you can find me at Jack's Films, and I upload 3 to 4 times a week. It's mostly that Yai series, but I try to slip in, you know, some good videos every now and then. And then on what's it called? Twitter. I'm also Jack's Films. Jesus, I forgot what Twitter was called. And then, of course, on Twitch, also Jack's Films, I do this fun game called Yai Live every Tuesday and every Friday. It's a lot of fun. It's like a live hour-long game show. Come join us. We are a cult. We are a cult.
Amen.
Beautiful.
All right, man. Again. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks, Tom, lads. This was a hell of a time. This is a good time. We gotta drink in DDR sometime.
Fuck yeah, man. Anytime.
Hell yeah.
Send us out, Jackson.
All right, and thank you everyone for listening to this week's episode of the official podcast. Really appreciate you sticking around and giving us the view. You can head on over to patreon.com/theofficialpodcast if you feel so inclined to throw a few extra bucks our way. There's a bunch of bonus perks over there, full episodes. There's a Discord, stuff like that. You can go see the rewards at that link. Yeah, that's everything. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.